Thank you, Brother Roy Hill. I appreciate your preacher. I appreciate this church. This church has been a big blessing to our family. Of course, John, Monica, and Abigail is here, and my grandson Joshua, and grandson Brian, and my son Joel all got their wives here. I'm about ready to send Jason back up here. But you folks have been a blessing. In fact, we're one of your missionaries. You help with our van payment once a year, and that keeps me rolling. About August in 2016, I had a little bit of tiny little knot right beside my ear. I'd drive down the road playing with it. I finally went to the dermatologist, and he didn't like it. He took pictures of it, and he sent me to ENT, and he sent me to the cancer doctor, he sent me to the heart doctor, sent me back to the cancer doctor, and then to a dental college. And then I had 4 hours operation on this side, taking everything out of my ear, rebuilding it, and then 12 hours, six, taking all the nerves and everything out of here, and then 6 hours putting it back together. I told that plastic surgeon, I said, make me look like John Wayne. But I meant while he was still alive. Within another couple months, I had another 4 hours and an hour and a half, and then another 4 hours last February. But I'm back on the road, and God's been blessing. I've been preaching messages I preached back in the 1950s, and God's still blessing. And I'm an evangelist, so tonight we're just going to get an evangelistic message. I appreciate your prayers. I just came off of 4 or 5 weeks of meetings, and I had some unusual things happen. We had some of the old-time power, and seeing some of the old-time results. I told somebody that this one teenager got ahead of me. She got saved before I preached. You can't do that. You wait till I preach to give an invitation. But she came one night and came back the next night and walked in the door and said, I want to get saved. So one of the ladies took her aside and led her to the Lord, and she got saved. Pray for us. This summer's going to be busy. I'll be with John some in Vacation Bible School. But I start off in a camp meeting in Kentucky. This summer I have 2 camp meetings. Vacation Bible School, Deaf Camp, and 2 revival meetings, and one service is on Sunday, so need a lot of prayer. So hope you'll pray for me. You got your Bible tonight. I believe what this book says is true from cover to cover, and whether I believe it or not, it is. This is the Word of God. In our Vacation Bible Schools, many times I'll have something in my pocket, and I'll tell the kids I say, whatever the Bible says is, and the first one that jumps up and says true, they get something out of my pocket. Then one Bible school, and I walked over, and the little kindergartner, he tried time and time again, and he didn't get up first. Everybody beat him and got up before he did. So I got right in front of him. I said, whatever the Bible says is, and he jumped up and says, is. I gave it to him anyway. Folks, when this book says it, you can believe it. From cover to cover. It is the Word of God. Now, unchanging Word of God. I'll turn to 2 scriptures, kind of a jumping off place tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3, but the text is going to be in Lamentations chapter 3. We'll start in 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll go to Lamentations chapter 3. This is a first for me. John's mother has traveled with me many times and interprets. Lately, she's been sick and hadn't been able to travel with me, but this is the first time John's been interpreting for me. I was going to tell him I was going to preach on the premillennial, postmillennial, rapture of the church, dichotomy and trichotomy. Eventually, Hal Webb pulled that on me once when I was trying to interpret, so I just said, John 3:16 says. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Notice that word, long-suffering. But is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If I read that properly, God does not want a person in this auditorium to end up in a lake of fire. He wants you on the streets of gold. And I'm going to speak to you. Well, keep that in mind. Let's go to Lamentation. Chapter 3, and verse 22 says this, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. because of God's mercy, He's given mankind another chance, time and time and time again. I want to speak tonight on the God of another chance. The God of another chance for the sinner, the God of another chance for the saint. I looked up this word mercy. It's found 254 times in the Bible. It's not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Did I get that backwards? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. These are twin salvation, mercy and grace. Psalm says this, the earth is full of thy mercy. If the earth is full of God's mercy, it's right here in this auditorium tonight. It's available to each one of and every one of us, God's mercy. I want to look at some people in the Bible that God gave another chance to. Go with me to the very first book in the Bible and the first chapter, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Actually, the first four words in the Bible, the entire Bible hangs on these four words. Without these four words, you wouldn't have a Bible. Without these four words, we wouldn't understand anything about heaven or hell. Without these four words, there'd be no salvation. In the beginning, what's the next word? Come on, this prayer meeting, you got to help me out some. By the way, I'm in North Carolina. I should hear an amen now and then. I just came from Pennsylvania. So it's like pulling hen's teeth to get an amen out of some of those folks up there. But I've got them coming, got them going. But in the beginning, God created. I want you to notice something with me. You got your Bible open there. In verse 3, it says, and God said. In verse 6, it says, and God said. In verse 11, it says, and God said. In verse 14, it says, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, and God said. God spoke worlds into existence. Where did the moon and the stars come from? God spoke them into existence. Where did this earthly welcome come from? God spoke it into existence. God said and it appeared. Where did all the whales and the oceans, the birds in the air? God said. But I want you to go to chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God, what's that next word? Folks, you're special to God. God could have said, Adam, appear. It appeared because he's God. But he didn't. God took time and put effort into forming man out of the dust of the ground. You're God's special creation. And he did not create you to go to hell and burn forever. He created you to fellowship with him in heaven for all eternity. And Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's an undying being. There was a time when you and I were not. There's never be a time we are not. You and I must live somewhere forever. Right. The body may die, but not you. You'll go somewhere forever. God formed man that way. All right, now, man's in the garden. Well, let's look on here. Verse 9, he gave him food. Verse 10, he gave him water. Verse 12, and the gold. He gave him gold. He couldn't go to Walmart. Wasn't Walmart there. What are you going to do with all that gold? Verse 15, he gave him a job. He wasn't unemployed. He didn't have to get food stamps. He was in the Garden of Eden to dress it. And then 16, he gave him a commandment not to eat of the tree. And then he gave him a wife. A companion, a helpmeet. He's in the garden there, perfect environment. Place God put him. But then a sad chapter is chapter 3. I hope you're there. Let's look at it. A sad chapter in the Bible, chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said ye shall not? There's the first question mark on earth. There it is. The devil made the first question. What's he questioning? The Word of God. Right. And by the way, he hasn't stopped. Here in this 21st century, he is still questioning what the Bible says. God may have said, God didn't mean it. Let me tell you a stupid statement. Pastor, on Easter Sunday, the president of Union Theological Seminary, said we may still find the body of Jesus. And then she said, that wouldn't hurt my faith. There is no faith without the resurrection. Amen. They're still questioning the Word of God. So the devil says, God didn't mean it. Eve should have said, God said it, that settles it. Have you got one of these plaques that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? Take that middle line out. If God said it, that settles it. God means what he says and says what he means. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Stop there, Eve. Stop right there. She didn't. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She added to the word. Folks, don't add to this book. It does not need any addition or subtraction. God said it, that's it. You don't take away from the word. But she listened to what the devil had to say. And then the first lie on earth is in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He lied. John 8:44 says he's the father's lies. And he lied. And the woman saw, she took, she gave. And by the way, when the devil would tempt Eve, he used a serpent. Now, I don't know about you, I don't like snakes. My son Barry and I he came to my house, I'm sitting on the porch, and this last fall, and he said, there's a little copperhead on your steps. I looked at one about 12 inches long, crawling across my steps. I put my heel on his head, and he ended up in the ant bed, and the ants had him for lunch. I don't like snakes. But he used something that was beautiful, got her attention. He didn't use the word hog. He used something to get her attention. Listen, when the devil tempts you, he don't show the effects of sin. He just makes it something beautiful that you got to have, something the flesh likes. But when the devil tempted Adam, what did he use? Watch this, folks. His best friend, Eve, is what he used. And many times, people are led astray by their partner or by their kids or their parents. Anyone, no matter who it is, tries to get you to go contrary to what the Bible says is wrong. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Don't let your friends lead you astray. All right, they ate of the tree. Then what did they do? They hid. They hid. Now let's just say this bush here is a bush in the garden. Before my knees started bothering me, I could have stooped down behind that, but not to try tonight. But they're hiding there behind the bushes. Now before, they were out here in the midst of the garden. They met with God. Where are they now? They're not where they used to be. They used to be out there with God. Now they're back here hiding. He's not where he needs to be. He'd just be out there on his knees saying, God, I've sinned, forgive me. But he's trying to hide sin. He's not where he ought to be. The devil did not create him. God did. What's he doing listening to the devil, not listening to God? Listen, God saw him when he sinned. God could have said, you're out of here, Adam. I'll get some dirt together and make somebody else. But he didn't. He gave him another chance. Where art thou, Adam? He wasn't seeking information. He was seeking man. He was seeking man. I wonder tonight, are you where you used to be as a Christian? Are you where you need to be as a Christian? Are you where you ought to be as a Christian? God's still seeking. He's still giving you a chance to get it settled. Adam, where art thou? And God provided the clothing and gave it to Adam. Adam could have said, no, I'm satisfied with fig leaves. But he didn't. God gave him another chance, and he accepted it. He accepted it. Let's go to another one. Go to 2 Samuel, chapter 11. God of another chance. 2 Samuel, chapter 11. The name David means beloved. We just say beloved of God. Here's a man in the Bible. God only singles out two people with special notice. He said, Job, twice he said about Job, not a man like him on earth. David, he said, here's a man after my own heart, a man after God's own heart. David, as a young man, I saw a Sunday school picture once and showed David, just a little kid, about 12 years old, with slingshot. No, he's a young man. Saul referred to him as a warrior when he's in the battle. But he's keeping the sheep, and a lion comes up. Just take one of the lambs. I don't know about you. I've been at the zoo when they're feeding the lions. Back as far as closest from here, like brother, like after 30 radiation treatments, my name's leaving me. Anyway, about this close to him, that lion roared. I backed up, even though there's bars between us. If I'm going to face a lion, I want at least an AK-47. No, Nancy Pelosi says can't have one of those. Maybe I'll get my 38. I don't want a slingshot facing a lion, do you? But David, it wasn't David's slingshot to kill a lion, it's God's power. God was with him. And then he faced a bear, did the same thing, and then there's big bad boy Goliath. Do you know David never called him a giant? I've always heard David saying about the giant. David didn't call him, he said that Philistine. In other words, he's just another sinner. I can face him and killed him. And then after several events, he became king. And he's a royal king. And then we get to chapter 11 here. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent forth Joab, his servant, with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. Now this next part I got underlined. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. He was not where he ought to be. He was not in the right place. Had he been at the battle like he was supposed to be, the rest of that chapter would be different. But he committed sin, he committed adultery and murder because he was not where he ought to be. Many Christians fall in sin on Sunday because they're not here Sunday night. Instead of sitting home watching football games or baseball games, something on television. Listen, television should not be the head of your home. The dad should be. And the dad ought to make sure the family's in church every time the door opens, whether it's a missionary conference, evangelistic meeting, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. He was not where he ought to be. And he fell into sin. Fell into sin. Now, just like Adam tried to hide, David tried to cover his sin. Oh, by the way, let me insert this. Bathsheba, pull the shade. Don't be exposing your body before David or any other man. Actually, you can see more flash today and walking through Walmart than they used to have in burlesque shows. Women are to dress improperly. Don't pull the shade. Pull the shade. But David sinned. And then he tried to cover it up. Had her husband killed, and then he took her as his wife. What's God going to do about it? Now, I don't know. Sometimes I'm glad I'm not God, because that already destroyed me. But God could have said, all right, David, manage my own heart. I've saved you from the mouth of the lion, the mouth of the bear. I saved you from big, bad boy Goliath. I've made you king, and you've done all this. That's it. Now, get out of here, David. I don't use you anymore. I don't bless you anymore. But he didn't. What did God do? What did God do? If I had a chair, I'd come sit in over here just for a moment. But let me just come over here and stand. You can't see me half the time, so I sit back there. But picture David here. He's sitting on the throne. He's got his crown on. He's got his royal robes on. He's got his mighty men on each side. And in comes that little preacher and says, thou art the man. Listen, David could have said, get that guy out of here. Cut off his head. You mighty men, take care of him. He had a choice he had to make. What am I going to do? What he said is true. Thou art the man. He could have killed a preacher, but he didn't. What are you going to do when you come sit in the pew Sunday morning or Sunday night? And pastor here gets up and preaches on something, and God's fixed your heart. That preacher shouldn't be talking like that to me. I had a woman go, when I was in the pastor, I had a woman go out the door and say, "I'll never come back to this church again." I said, "Why?" "That preacher said I was good for nothing." I didn't. I went to see her. I said, she said, "You said I was good for nothing." I said, "No, I didn't either." "Yes, you did. I heard you." I was reading, I preached from Matthew chapter 5. Salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Evidently, the Holy Spirit said, "You're good for nothing. You're not serving God, not being faithful in church, probably not even saved." You can get mad at the preacher. Nathan, David didn't. David listened to what he had to say. In fact, if you check with Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 3, 5, David that named that baby that was born, he named him Nathan. Instead of getting mad at the preacher, he listened to him, named his son after the preacher. What did David do? Psalm 51. Guess what David did. Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." He didn't go out of the church mad because the preacher preached on him. He got right with him. He said, "God, what the preacher said was right. I've sinned. I acknowledge my sin. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me." He took advantage of a second chance. He took advantage of a second chance. Being king, he didn't have to. But being a man after God's own heart, God smote his heart with a message. And he yielded. He yielded. How many people come in these doors week after week and walk out the door again? God has smote their heart. The altar's open, but they don't pay attention to it. They don't take advantage of the next chance. I want to look at another one. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. I like to hear these pages turning. If you don't have a Bible, get a songbook and turn the pages. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 40. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus." Peter. He became the spokesman of the apostles. Peter was the one that walked on water, not Andrew. Peter's the one that caught the fish with the money in his mouth, wasn't Andrew. Peter's the one that said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Later on, he said, "I know not the man," but he acknowledged Christ. He's the one that said, "Though he slay me." No, I'm getting that mixed up. He's the one that said, "Though all forsake you," not me. I won't do it. I won't do it. Why did Peter backslide? Go to John 18. I want to say, why did Peter backslide? John chapter 18, we're going to look at verse 15. That's when they had taken Jesus, taken him into the judgment hall. "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple." That disciple was known unto the high priest, that's John. "And went in with Jesus into the place of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake to her that kept the door, and brought in Peter." Now notice, he's there with John. Why didn't he stay with John? Let's look on. "Then said to them that kept the door unto Peter, 'Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?' He said, 'I'm not.' And the servants and the officers stood there, and who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter," notice his next three words, "stood with them." Who? Those that fought to crucify Jesus. He got with the wrong crowd. David's in the wrong place. Peter's in the wrong crowd. He should have stayed with John. I want to talk to Peter someday in heaven. Of course, he probably wants to ask me a lot of questions too. I want to know why he could take a sword. I mean, he grabbed that sword, and it wasn't just one or two. That was a whole half army there, man. He whacked off an ear. He's ready to fight a whole army. And he's afraid of one little maid. One little maid made a coward out of him. And he's got with the wrong crowd. Blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way with sinners. Amen. He stood with the sinners. And three times he said, I don't know him. I marvel. On the mountain he said, Thou art the Christ. Here he said, I know not the man. I know not the man. Let's go in the last chapter of the book of Mark. Mark, the last chapter, chapter 16. I've been preaching 66 years. I found something last year right in this chapter and I'd never noticed before. It's been there all the time, but just never got my attention. In the 16th chapter of Mark, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. By the way, some of these in seminaries say, well, they went to the wrong tomb. If they did, so did the angels. If they did, so did the Roman soldiers. They're guarding the wrong thing. If they're at the wrong tomb, Jesus arose from wherever tomb he was in. Because 500 people saw him. They looked and saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Verse 5. Entering the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He said to them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him. All right, you got verse 7? Watch it carefully with me. But go your way and tell his disciples and Matthew. Huh? Go tell the disciples and John the Beloved. No. Go tell his disciples and Simon Zelotes. No. Who did he single out? Who? Peter. I'd never really got a hold of that. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Why did he single out Peter? Because Peter needed it. Peter was backslidden. Peter had something between him and God. If I study my Bible right in the book of 1 Peter, Peter was at the cross, but not close to it. He said he beheld the sufferings of Christ. But he had that sin. He denied the Lord three times. He didn't come up close to the cross. And now he's miserable. He's already wept bitterly. And then Mary Magdalene says, I saw Jesus, and Peter, he said, tell you he's risen. Go tell his disciples and Peter, because Peter needs it. I wonder tonight, you walked in that door and you're not saved? Or if you walked in that door tonight, like Peter, there's something between you and the Lord. If the Lord didn't say, Evangelist Foot, go tell Calvary Baptist Church and would your name be there? Go tell Calvary Baptist and him or her or them. If so, in just a few moments the pastor will give you an invitation, you'll have an opportunity to come to the altar and get it settled. Peter was miserable. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Peter accepted the second chance. Peter accepted the second chance. Here's somebody that did not accept the chance. In chapter 10 of Matthew, Jesus called the disciples. He chose the disciples. It says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And he gives the names of the 12 disciples. He chose them. verse 4 says, and Samuel came to night, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Jesus chose Judas, but Judas never chose Jesus. What an opportunity he had. If anybody, like, should not be in hell, they had an opportunity not to go, it'd be Judas. He heard the greatest preachers ever walked upon the face of this earth. This earth has some great preachers. A fellow went in England one heard a great speaker speak, and he walked out and he said, "My, what an orator, what a speaker. Boy, he challenged everything." That night he went to hear Spurgeon and came out and said, "What a savior, what a savior." That Spurgeon must have been some kind of preacher. I've had an opportunity of hearing some great preachers. I met Billy Sunday's wife. I didn't hear Billy Sunday. I heard Bob Jones Sr., John R. Rice, Lester Roloff, Oliver Green, Billy Kelly, Maze Jackson, Lee Robinson. In fact, one of the greatest thrills I've had in my life was sitting beside Lee Robinson on my couch. And he said to me, he said, "Brother Foote, they tell me I can't sing, but I got a song." He said, "I'd rather have a song than rather be able to sing." And Lester and I had some great times of fellowship together for a whole week. But I've heard some great preachers, but never man spake like Jesus. Never man spake like him. He not only heard the greatest preacher, he heard the greatest preaching. He heard John 3:16. He heard Jesus say, "Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out." He heard that. All he had to do was say, "Jesus, I need to get saved." He didn't hear John 14:6. He has already gone out after that. But he heard the other verses throughout John. He saw the miracles. He saw Jesus feed the multitudes. He saw him heal the sick, open blind eyes, cause the deaf to hear. He saw that. And yet, time after time, opportunity after opportunity, chance after chance, he rejected. He rejected. His love of money, he rejected it. Matthew 23, I was reading through this recently, speaks of hypocrites. Over and over again, it talks about hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. And I read verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. Why did he preach hypocrites to his disciples? Because there's one there. A hypocrite's a pretender. Do you know you can be in church service every time the door is open and not go to heaven? Judas heard all kind of preaching. He associated with some of the best people that's ever walked on this earth. He associated with John the Beloved. He associated with Peter, James, John, Andrew, the whole crowd. And yet, he's in hell tonight while you're in those shoes because he never chose Jesus. He had an opportunity, but he made the wrong choice. Made the wrong choice. Let's look at one more. Turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. One more, and then I'll get through this introduction. I'll get to the sermon. Genesis chapter 4. My wife says, "Don't ever say that." Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." But boy, you realize, he was a firstborn male. He would have been in the line of Christ. He would have received the blessing. But he chose his own way. He chose his own works. He's the first man on earth that tried to work his way to heaven. I was looking at this not long ago. Let's just say here's his altar. Man, he built an altar. He brought the fruit of the ground. He didn't have a John Deere tractor. He had to work in his own hands in the ground. He grew his crops. So he wasn't lazy. He was a good worker. He brought a sacrifice, not to Baal. He brought it to God. Baal hadn't been invented yet. He brought the sacrifice, brought the right person. He brought it to the right time, but no blood. No blood. And God rejected it. God rejected it. Did he have another chance? Yes, he did. Verse 7, God's mercy gives him another chance. If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lies at the door, our sin offering. He said, get the right offering. Bring the blood. How many people over the last 66 years have I talked to about salvation? Said, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Catholic, I'm this, that, and other. Listen, it's not your denomination, it's your destination you better worry about. So said Gypsy Smith. Where are you going to end up? It's what you do with Jesus. That's what counts. Not what church you belong to.
Amen.
Listen, this is a good church. I appreciate your pastor. He's doing. I've never heard him preach a bad sermon. He may have some now and then. I'll just ask his wife. But I appreciate her. I've got notes in the back of my Bible from something he preached. But he can't get you to heaven. The Calvary Baptist can't get you to heaven. No more than an offering Cain got to get him. He offered an offering. You may put your money in the offering plate. You may sing the songs. But that's not going to get you to heaven. You must be born again. This fellow preached in Moody Memorial Church in Moody's day. He preached 2 solid weeks on you must be born again. You must be born again, over and over again. Moody was away. He came back and the man came and said, Mr. Moody, that fellow's preaching the same thing every night and every afternoon. So we said, why do you preach you must be born again? He said, just for one reason, you must. You must. If you're going to go to heaven, you must be born again. Cain, bring the right offering. Folks in this building, make sure you've come to Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior. Bring the right offering. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin. Not our works, not our goodness. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Neither is the salvation of any other, for there's no other name under heaven. It's not Mohammed, it's not Allah, it's not Tassie Russell, it's not Jehovah's Witness. It's Jesus. He's the only one that gets you there. The only one. Cain had a chance. He rejected it. He rejected it. They got mad at God. Said he was wrong. What did his brother do to him, brother? He was mad at God. I know some folks right now up in Pennsylvania once real faithful in church. In fact, he was the head deacon. They're out of church now. They're mad at God. They're mad at God because his son got killed. Listen, God always does right. We don't understand always what happens. There's a man up in Ohio, I think it was. He got mad at God because his cat got run over and dropped out of church. Listen, God always does right.
Amen. Amen.
We don't always know why, but there's a reason. And all things are working together for good. Then the love of God are called according to his purpose. And someday, up there, we'll understand. He rejected God's other chance. Killed his brother. Lied to God. Cried out, my punishment greater than I can bear. But notice what he did in verse 16. Now, God said, here's another chance. What did he take it? Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt on Nod in the east of Eden. He turned his back on God and walked out away from God. How many people have heard the gospel and they turned their back and walked away from him? How many Christians have things in their lives and God speaks to them and they turn their back like Cain and walk away? Let me get to us here tonight, right here in this building. As Adam, you can take advantage of another chance of God's mercy to get salvation if you're not saved. John 3:16 still works. It'll work right in this building tonight. Him that comes to me, I'll no wise cast out. John 6:37, that still works. If you'll come to Jesus, he won't cast you out. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody commit the unpardonable sin. I may have. Preaching in the hills of Kentucky back in the 1950s. This teenager, probably about 16 or 17, was sitting on the second row right here. I preached on a message on salvation. She cried. I mean, she was weeping. And I said, well, who wants to be saved? She raised her hand. She wanted to be saved. Now, I do not go back and try to make people come down an aisle. Looking back, I wish I had. She didn't come. The next night, she sat about four rows back, right on this side. She didn't, no tears, but she raised her hand again. I want to be saved. That's Sunday, Monday. Tuesday night, she's on the back row with teenagers laughing while I preached on hell. No conviction, no tears, no hand raised. Now, this is the same girl that sat here on Sunday night. At the door, I said, didn't you want to be saved? She said, ha, not me, ha, and went out the door. God says, my spirit shall always strive with man. If God's speaking your heart, you better yield and make the right choice tonight. Make the right decision tonight. God's given you another opportunity right in this building tonight. Christian, as David, if there's sin in your life, you got an opportunity to get it right. What should a Christian do with sin? Let's go to Psalms 32. Psalm 32. And verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Think of that. Chapter 38, and verse 18. For I will declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. Jeremiah 3:13 says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Only acknowledge. I want you to go to another scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy, back of your Bible here. Chapter 5. If you're here tonight as one of God's children, the devil's tempted you. You fail God, you're fallen. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You can confess it. You got an opportunity to do that tonight. Or you can try to cover it, walk out of here still with it. But I want you to notice a verse here. In 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. And some men, they follow after. You can get on your knees to this altar and send that sin on ahead of time, forgiven. Or you can walk out that door and it's going to follow you all the way to the judgment seat of Christ. Check your rearview mirror. It's behind you. It's following. And you'll face it someday at the judgment seat of Christ. One more scripture and I'll turn it over to the pastor. God gives you another opportunity. Amen. But look at Proverbs 29, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved, you find it there? Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved, that's opportunity after opportunity, chance after chance after chance after chance, and hardness of his name, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Pastor?